start with the Rambam. Last two halachas of Perek of Dalet and Hilchos Shabbos. Perek of Dalet, the Rambam discusses in a broad sense the Yisurei Derabbanan, which exists in Shabbos. And at the end, the last two halachas, he gives us an introduction to Hilchos Muktzah. And then in the following, after that, starting in the next Perek, the Rambam goes through the next two prokim. The Rambam goes through Hilchos Muktzah. But in the end of Perek Chof Dalet, the Rambam gives a Hagdama. And he states the following: Osru Chachomim Letalto Muktzah Tvarim B'Shabbos. To move certain things on Shabbos is prohibited, and this prohibition is midrabbanan. It has no basis in the Torah itself. And it shouldn't, kederach shoyse b'chol. He shouldn't be doing, moving the same things as he would be in a weekday. And the Rambam raises the obvious question, v'b'neimah nogu b'yisuzek. What was the motivation that Chazal created this Issa? For what reason? Omru, they said, this was their rationale. We find in the Novi in Yeshaya, and some of us recite it before Kiddush Shabbos morning. Toshu Mishabbos Raglecha Asayis Chavetzecha B'yom Kotshi V'karosa L'Shabbos Oineg B'chibato Me'asayis Terochecha Mimtzo Cheftzecha V'davar Dova. So one of the things Chazal learned from this is Shalot Tehil Hiluchach B'Shabbos Hiluchach B'chol. We shouldn't walk and travel in the street in the same fashion that we do on Shabbos. So for an adult, that means not supposed to run like a meshugan. Oh, you know, never, what could we do? We run like meshugayim. But Shabbos is supposed to walk benachas. So Imam has hero Nevi'im, it's even the Nevi'im admonished us. Don't walk on Shabbos the way we do in the weekdays. And we shouldn't speak on Shabbos as we do in the weekday. That is, it's a Gemara Shabbos Kufiyud Gimel, and it's actually a Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi learns V'davar Dovar refers to speaking about business matters. So Tosfos is a little bit disturbed by this, because the pasuk reads Mimtzo Cheftzicha V'davar Dovar. Mimtzo Cheftzicha, Shas interprets that we shouldn't be involved in business activities on Shabbos. So why would I need V'davar Dovar, Tosfos says. So I'm not here right now to deal with Tosfos Kasha. I have ideas, but that's not today's for sure. Tosfos says, the meaning of V'davar Dovar, we should be less verbose on Shabbos. At a time, I guess, perhaps it's a distraction from the Ruchnias, we should be less verbose. And it brings really a very peculiar medrash almost. I think Rav Shimon ben Yochai was sitting with his mother, and she let loose, and he told it's inappropriate at Shabbos. So the Rambam says, Ahiluch on Shabbos shouldn't be as it is. Adibur on Shabbos is supposed to be different. And these are relatively minor things. They will not disrupt the whole Shabbos by doing these things. Kal v'chaymer shelo yitiltul b'Shabbos kitiltul b'chol. Then certainly we should move things around on Shabbos as we move them in the weekday. And here the Rambam spells out, and that's why it's a kal v'chaymer. Yido shelo yia ki yoyim chol b'eino. Was otherwise, and it would just be reduced to another weekday. V'yovo lagbia u'lisaken kelim. It'll come to pick up, and the saken, I believe he means to fix the place where he wants to move things around the house from one place to the other, mipino lepino, from one end of his house. There's an air of Baruch Hashem, when we bias the bias, he'll lug some furniture down the block to his neighbor. Olatz ni'avonim, there are stones around the yard. He wants to clear out the yard, so he'll clear away the stones. And the Rambam says, why will this certainly take place? The Rambam lived with the Arabs, remember, that's what everybody said. Sharihu bottle, he's not working. V'yayishiv abesa, you'll see soon how much he lived with the Arabs. And he's sitting at home. V'vakish dovashi yisai, so he's bored. He wants something to do. So, listen, you know, whoever has time to clean the garage, next Shabbos, after the Cholent, you know, we'll go out, we'll clean the garage, slip everything out, we'll clean the garage. A week after that, we'll go up to the attic Shabbos afternoon. The next week, down to the basement. So we'll clean up the backyard. You know, this. You know, when the malachas we're not allowed to do. So Baruch Hashem, we won't do malachas. There's a lot of work to do that doesn't involve malacha. So what will happen, the Rambam says? V'yova, and the end will be, v'nimtza shalei Shabbos. Shabbos is a day of menucha, of tranquility. That will go out the window. Ubotel atam shenever b'torah l'man yenuach. The Torah says l'man yenuach. Shabbos will end, we'll be dead from all the work we did. We'll be waiting for Monday morning to get back to the office to go and get on vacation again. So Mamela, that's why the Rambam says they had to make Yuchus Mukta. So this put an end to this type of activity. Number one. V'oit. Kishin yivaker, we will inspect, v'tal do kelim. And a carry around tools, Shemalachdun Le'isa. Efshar, she is Asik Ben Ma'at. You know, impulsively, you know, you're carrying your hammer and you pierce that nail that's been sticking out of the wall for the last 3 weeks that you forgot about. So you give a clap, you'll do Malocha, you'll be Masakin. By the time you realize, it'll be too late, it'll be Mechal Shabbos already. But oh, there's a third reason the Rambam says. And that's why I said, you see where he lived in the world. There's some people that don't have professions, you know. I mean, they sit in the coffee shops and they smoke the hookah the whole day. They don't work. It looks like they didn't make an egg for themselves either, you'll see. You're going to have tayolim, people that, you know, travel around. V'yosha kronos, the ones that hang out on the street corners, you know, the place Sheshbesh. Shekol yemeim and shoysin melocha. They don't do melocha. Miyemurta lalo echoladav lotalto kishayom. And if one may speak and run around and carry things, kishayom nimtush lo shabbos shvisani keres. You will not be able to see Shabbos manifest in this guy's life. Doesn't look different than any other day. What's the problem? What's different than any other day in his life? The Rambam says it's two things. Number one is that for this person it lends itself to Shvisa Hanikaras. And secondly, you know, part of the idea of a religion is that we have a unified worship. So in this sense, everyone in fact will be manifesting Shabbos in the same way. You know, even the guy that doesn't work. So, you know, I don't work on Shabbos, so that's how I manifest Shabbos. But because of Hilchos Mukta, all of us have something in common in how we manifest Shabbos. It's obvious in our actions. Mipnei dvorim elu nogu b'Yisra tulta. And because of this, they created the Yisra of Mukta. And they prohibited carrying things around, moving things around on Shabbos. Only those things which are necessary, Kimoshi is born. A beautiful Rambam. The only problem with this Rambam is, this Rambam is very original. Very original. the Raiva takes him to task for his originality. You know, if something Shas doesn't say a reason and you want to speculate your reasons, okay, matovim anon. So you've advanced the discussion by putting forth your reasons. But when Shas declares what the reason is, so why in the world are you creating your own reasons? And the one in Shas you don't even bring, because you would cite the one in Shas. There's a Gemara in Kaf Kuch of Dalar Amud Beis and Shabbos. The Ravid quotes this. Omar Avram. Oh, you know. That's it. Just listen. That's the Shvi Sana Keres, no cell phones, you know. Ravid asks, the Gemara says in Shabbos, O to tiltu lav tzorach itzohu? Tiltu, Muktzah, the Gemara says, was banned as a means of keeping people away from itzoh. If you don't move things or carry things around, then you can't do itzoh. Very simple. V'ayid amru, and the Gemara tells us, where did Muktzah come? Where did it appear on the map? Remain Nehemiah ben Chaklaya, the famous Nehemiah, was involved together with Ezra in the construction of the Rabbi Yesheni. Nishnas Mr. Nishnazu, Sha'amru, Shlosha Kedem Gdanam Nitlim Ala Shulchan. They made very highly restrictive muksa, much more so than today. Nimtzuk im Hibne Chiyav Haitzah, to provide a protection for Haitzah. Osru betilto masha osru shu gedel haitzah. Without moving things around, you can't do haitzah. Now, what was the story of Nehemiah? First came Ezra from Babel to build the Beis HaMikdash. Now, this is 70 years out from when the Golos began. So, three generations later. Well, in three generations, a lot of deterioration can set in. And he shows up in Yerushalayim. There were Jews there before him. They weren't building the Beis HaMikdash, but they were there. And lo and behold, the market day in Yerushalayim was on Shabbos. And the Rishonim and Tanakh tell us this was not only that within Yerushalayim the commerce operated on Shabbos, but they used to truck goods in by donkey into Yerushalayim from outside of Yerushalayim on Shabbos. So the trucking industry was working overtime, you know, to supply the marketplace. This was the scene that Ezra confronts when he comes to Yerushalayim. And this wasn't something that he could readily deal with. Nehemiah, on the other hand, Ezra was a kohen, he was a rabbi. Nehemiah was in the king's service. So one day the king sees that Nehemiah looks depressed. So he asked him, what's up? So Ezra knew how to talk to the king. Tell him it's a Beis HaMikdash or whatever. This is, you know, the king's not going to care if anything, you won't let him. So he tells the king something that the king can't ignore because it really connects. He says, you know, there's the place where my ancestors are buried. And it's so degrading for them. It's a slum. The place is smashed, you know. The animals are probably overrunning everything in the place. I have no tranquility thinking that this is, you know, my father, my grandfather, buried under such miserable conditions. It just disturbs my tranquility. This the king could relate to. Kivri Avaisel, you know. So he tells Nehemiah, okay, you're on detached service, go, you know, off and take care of what you need to in Yerushalayim. Now Nehemiah comes as an officer of the king. comes as an officer of the king, comes with soldiers too. When Ezra doesn't like, what Ezra didn't like what he saw, Nehemiah did something about it. Nehemiah declared the market closed. And he had the chevra to enforce it. That's it. The market is closed on Shabbos. Nobody's going into Yerushalayim, nobody's going out of Yerushalayim. And he wanted to close down the businesses in Yerushalayim, so he was Goyza Muktza. And he obviously enforced it.
Was he a Navi?
No, he's not a Navi. We're considered, presumably, with those that do had Ruach HaKadosh. But he's not a Navi. After the era of Nevuah ends in the end of the Bayis Rishon and the period in between Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni.
Ezra wasn't a Navi either?
No. So, this is Nehemiah. So Nehemiah takes the bull by the horns and he has the force to be able to do so, and that's it. And he restores Shabbos in Yerushalayim. So he legislated a very, very harsh regimen of muktzah. And when it reached a point where they assessed that Toitzah was no longer an issue, this was just something people didn't do on Shabbos. So the Gemara says on Shabbos they liberalized the laws of muktzah to what they are today. That's the Gemara. So the Rabbi says, what's the Rambam coming with his creative ideas for? The Shah says it explicitly, it is a line, it's connected to Haitzah. The story with Nehemiah connects it to Haitzah. So what's the Rambam's problem? So there's a whole... Some want to say, Magid Mishnah, that the Rambam's concern is why we have Muktzah Bizmanena. If the issue of Haitzah went out, was no longer an issue, when they had enough power to change Ezra's Nehemiah's law. In other words, if they couldn't overturn his law, then we should have the restrictive, highly restrictive, super restrictive Muktzah of Nehemiah, which we don't have. The Shas itself says we don't have that. That we liberalized it. If we were in a situation to undo Takanas Nehemiah, so one Tzotzah was no longer a problem, why do we keep it on the books for? Why expunge it? That's, he says, what bothered the Rambam. He says, so the Rambam was b'chadish reasons why it wasn't expunged from the books. That's what the Magid Mishnah wants to say. Yitochen Ma'id is another step to this. That the reasons that the Rambam cites, we have to assume some or all of them existed long before Nehemiah came on the scene. Also, we'll see in a minute. Shlomo HaMelech was the beginning of the Bayis Rishon. He builds Bayis Rishon when? In the aftermath of his father's death. Because when his father was alive, he wasn't allowed to build. David was the king. He couldn't build the Beis HaMikdash. After David's death, then Shlomo gets to in a number of years. He decides that what's going on. And he undertakes and he builds the Beis HaMikdash. Nehemiah is at the dawn of the Bayis Sheni. Right. 4 centuries and something later, afterwards. Now, let's examine a Gemara, a very fascinating Gemara, about the death of David HaMelech. It's a Gemara on Shabbos, Daf Lamed Amud Beis. Gemara says the following, that David HaMelech was informed that he would die on Shabbos. When the Rav Hashem said that, I can't tell anyone. But you're going to die on Shabbos, you're going to die. So David HaMelech asked the Rav Hashem to die on Shabbos can involve Bizoyan HaMeis. Because they can't be Isaac and it's Kfura properly until afterwards. So he says, okay, so put it off until Sunday. To kill me, take my life after Shabbos. But Shlomo says, I can't do that. Shlomo is destined to be Melech. When a Malchus is supposed to begin, no other Malchus can impinge on the next Malchus. So David HaMelech says, okay, listen, if I can't work it that way, so let's do it Erev Shabbos. So the Rebbe Shlomo tells him that your Limud HaTorah is so choshev, I'd rather have Shlomo HaMelech. I don't want you to leave the world early, and then Shlomo HaMelech will build the Beis HaMikdash earlier? It's not worthwhile. Your Avoda and Torah exceeds that which will happen if Shlomo HaMelech starts a day earlier in building the Mikdash. So Mamela, you have to live that. Okay. So, can't plea bargain his case. So what does he do? So Dovra Melech was a very insightful man. Kol yom de Shabbata of a Yosef Goros Kulayim. With a super master. He sat and learned nonstop every Shabbos. And as Rashi says, Torah is his Megina, Torah protects him. So that's it. So the Malach HaMovis couldn't get near him. But the Malach HaMovis is no slouch either. Ahu Yom with the boy Lemeinach Nafshe came the day Rabbi Shalom told the Malach HaMovis it's time for David to leave. So, come Malach HaMovis come. So the Malach HaMovis marched in front of him. And nothing happened. He didn't stop learning. It's because someone walked in front of him, did not disturb. And there was concentration and learning. But Rabbi Yoshev, you know, they wanted to ask him something. They walked in front of him. Totally oblivious. He just kept on learning. Didn't even realize they were there. They'd have to, you know, take his gemara and shake it. Like. So the Malach HaMovis came and he marched around in front of Dovra HaMelech, and Dovra HaMelech just didn't register. Dovra HaMelech was involved in learning. So the Malach HaMovis sees this is not going to go. I'm a Maya Avidly, so how am I going to do the job? The Eibush gave me a job to do, and he wasn't about to go back and tell the Rebbeinu Shalom didn't do the job. There was a garden behind the house. So it figures it'll disturb him. Also, Malach HaMovis, Soluk Bochash Biloni. So he went and he started rattling the trees. Oh, this is very peculiar. David heard this. And he decided to go north of Lemechse. So he went to see what's going on. Have a Soluk, he still didn't stop learning. Have a Soluk Bidarga, he was going down the steps. If Chazdarga mitosa, one of the steps cracked, the Malach HaMovis cracked the step under him. Ishtik, like it stunned him for a moment, that he stopped learning. Is Venoch Nafshe, Dovra Melech does. Couldn't get outsmart the Malach HaMovis. So now Shlomo HaMelech has a problem with Shabbos. Sholach Shlomo Lebei Midrash. He says, I have two problems. I took over a responsibility for my father's affairs now. Dot. Abameis, my father died, Umutl Bechamo, and he's laying outside in the sun. You know, it's a huge bizayin ameis, it's going to deteriorate. So what should I do? And I have a second problem, Uklovim Shobes Abareivim. And the dogs don't have what to eat, so I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do, better feed them. Moesa. Sholchulei Sarayensirim. Chateich Neveilim. Take an avail, a dead animal already, and put it in front of the, down in front of the dogs. And your father, put a loaf of bread of a child on him, and carry him. This is a special heter, since it's simultaneously carrying a door heter and a door, he said, cover the mace, they allow this. Was Shlomo not so incisive in his commentary? That a Kelev Chai is more significant than an Arya Hames. There were a number of different takes on this Gemara. One take on this Gemara is he asked him about his father and about the Klovim. Which did they answer first? He answered about the Klovim first. The Klovim have to eat now. It's a mitzvah to give them to eat. The mace, another 2 minutes. Nishkanaf Kamina. So here's Melech Yisrael and died. So more important than what to do with Melech Yisrael is to feed the dogs. So mitzvah is the same. Mechuyiv to avoid Tzav Alechayim, I should say. Mechuyiv to avoid Tzav Alechayim. So that they answered first. But the disposition of the Melech, that could wait. That's the Gemara. Now let me ask you a question. Two things. Number one, this was more than 4 centuries before Nehemiah arrived at the gates of Yerushalayim. And Shlomo HaMelech had Muktzah already. Right? Yeah, they asked him, I don't know what to do. And they told him, Tavi Vataltalim B'Kikra B'Tinok, and it's brought to Shulchan Aruch, Halacha L'Maaseh. So more than four centuries before Nehemiah, there was already Muktzah, number one. So don't let us not claim, the Rambam says, that Nehemiah is the originator of Muktzah. Doesn't cut it, number one. Number two, the Rambam is another kasha. There's another kasha. If we are to say that the sole reason for Mukta Zaitzah, then we have a problem. The one Shabbos, Shabbat of Tzalik Dalet Amad Beis, says the following, that if a person carries out a mess from Rishus HaYochud to Rishus HaRab to bury him on Shabbos, does he violate Aitzah? So Rabbi Yehuda says it's a violation of Aitzah. He willfully carried him. He wanted to accomplish something, his burial. It's a violation of Aitzah. Rabbi Shimon says, no way, no way. Why? It's a melacha Hashem, it's shvichah l'gufa. I don't need the mace. I don't need the mace any place. You know, I'm not trying to bring him because I need the mace. You know, I'm bringing the mace because the mace has to be buried someplace. That's all. I saw the shot. Listen, here's a bottle of seltzer. I need a bottle of seltzer. I take the bottle of seltzer water because I don't need it here. I need it in the next block. But that's a melacha shetzricha l'gufa. I need this. I don't need the mace. To get rid of the mace. Belongs in the cemetery. That's all. I don't need the mace anyways. It's just it's to be disposed of. Good. And I'm a covered dick away, but that's it. I have to get them out of here. So it's melacha shetzricha l'gufa. So Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Yehuda says, Yechayev goes to melacha shetzricha l'gufa. Which happens to be the Rambam's psak, but those to the other Rishonim Paskin Malach Hashem Tzricha L'Gufa is only is awesome with the Ramon. It's not awesome with the Reis. It's no Hitzol. So the Shaila is like this. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's possible to say that the Muktzah of Dovah HaMelech was because of Hitzol. But according to Rabbi Shimon, can't be also because of Hitzol because there is no Hitzol on a mess. So how could it be? A Chayach Hitzol. What's the pshat? Shah says, all the way back to the time of Shlomo HaMelech, there was Muktzah. No, I think Rav Shimon explained it. He didn't explain it because of Eitzah, because there is no Eitzah. He won't be over Eitzah. So Zuk the Rambam, Muktzah was enacted long, long before Nehemiah ben Chaklaya showed up on the scene. Yeah, Nehemiah ben Chaklaya strengthen Muktzah to a phenomenal degree. Why? Because Nehemiah ben Chaklaya was trying to put an end to Eitzah. So he really tightened up the screws in Muktzah. But he was not the inventor of Muktzah. Muktzah existed centuries and centuries before him. It's axiomatic. Shas talks about it. Yeah, that's when Nehemiah ben Chaklaya showed up on the scene. He tightened up Muktzah because of Eitzah. But it's not that later why we kept it, as the Magen Mishnah says, but L'chor, it's even more than that. It's initially it was made for these reasons. It wasn't made for Eitzah, so why was it made? Zuk the Rambam, we have to learn that Nehemiah strengthened Muktzah. And that was a passing stage. When the problem was straightened out, they put it back to the initial stage. That might answer another kasha. That might be the reason why they were allowed to undo what Nehemiah did. Because actually what Nehemiah did was to alter a takono that came long before him. So Elamai, Nehemiah's, perhaps Chazal understood, was Begeder HaRosho. Meaning to say, listen, he had really no authority in and of itself, so simply change Muktzah. Maybe it could be more Machmer if he wanted. But he didn't undo the basic Muktzah. So he had a temper problem, so he made a takona. The takona was intended as long as the problem lasts. Once the problem ends, so okay, dinner, we'll go back to where we were before. So the Rambam is forced, perforce, to say that there are reasons both which predate Nehemiah and have nothing to do with Eitzah. My Muktzah is also.
How does the Rambam see the reason about not doing Malacha from the story of Shlomo HaMelech?
Where does he?
I got a pen in my right.
No, we don't see, the Rambam doesn't, we don't know what the reasons are that Shas doesn't say. The Rambam just knows from that Gemara two things. That Nehemiah ben Chaklaya didn't start Muktzah, and that mukta didn't start because of itself.
But how does he know? I'm saying one of the reasons the Rambam gives has nothing to do with the story of Shlomo either.
Good. So that means
maybe the reason was
Hotzah. There's no Hotzah in his case.
There's also no.
So that means it's all good. So there must be there's other reasons. In that case.
What gives the Rambam the right to explain?
Because the Rambam says, I know that their Hotzah was obviously not there on the. At the beginning, because there has to be something more than I saw that was there. So the Rambam learns, yeah, when did I saw come onto the scene? And that's the pshat. Why did mukta become more chomer? Because when you legislate for Haitzah, you make mukta more chomer. That's what Nehemiah did. When you finished the problem of Haitzah, went back to the regular mukta. The regular mukta is not so severe. So if they were concerned for Haitzah from the beginning, they should have done at the beginning what Nehemiah did. So why didn't they do that? We know the Mukta predated the Chemya by hundreds of years. So why didn't it have the fashion of the Chemya? So the Rambam's answer, the Chayr, it will be that it's only the Chemya was concerned for Eitzah, so he made a very harsh regimen of Mukta. As the Rabbi Magid says, when that ended, his Mukta also ended. But if they had made a gather for Eitzah at the beginning, then it should have looked like the Chemya's Mukta from the outset, the Rambam holds. Whatever, so the Rambam doesn't learn that way. When the Gemara says, "Otu is b'shem Haitzah," the Chemya made it because of Haitzah. If you, so he said, the reasons are not articulated in Shas. The reasons are open. So the Rambam applied his wisdom and understanding of Shas to formulate reasons, but he had a reason not to take the reason that the Gemara says, because it clearly did not apply to the story of Shlomo HaMelech. Having to move Dovitz, but not because of Eitzot, it's not Eitzot, it's Melocha Shein Etzricha Leguf, according to Rav Shem. So the Rambam knows that there must be something else. So that's the way I believe the Rambam learned the Sugya. That when it's Mishtam Eitzot, it's Mocham. When it's not Mishtam Eitzot, it's Ukme Adino, which is the Mukta that we have. And that really predated Nehemiah. So Mukta, from the Rambam standpoint, is that it's a means of avoiding impulsive malacha, that if we carry around the tools we'll do malacha. It's a means of achieving Menucha Shabbos. Now it's a little bit b'mashma from that, that the Rambam does not have the Ramban Shabbosim. Right, the Ramban Shabbosim bans these things as a mitzvah saseh of Shabbos. So then the chayra, there would be no reason if it was osir because of Shabbosim, would there be necessarily a reason to add to ask the same things again? The Rambam says, I'll be busy doing work the whole day, schlepping things around, you know, my property. According to Ramban, it's osir the chayra because of Shabbosim. So would we need to be going to mukta on top of that? So he talking that the Rambam is mechulik with the Ramban. In other words, everyone agrees that you can't have Shabbos if we're going to be free to do what we want to do. The ice Shabbos. So the only shaila is how we got to this point, perhaps. So according to the Ramban, we got there because of the mitzvah Shabbos. That you can't schlep heavy things and packages around your property. So you don't need mukta to accomplish that end, the first end of the Rambam. But according to the Rambam, it would seem he doesn't hold from the Ramban Shabbosin and Pashtas. And Ramaylas Hadrakushi Leduchta. So what's going to prevent people from trashing the Ruach of Shabbos? The answer is mukta, according to the Rambam. Mukta was designed for that purpose. So in other words, all the Rishonim, the Ramban and the Rambam, are both confronting what they see as a major chink in the armor of Shabbos. In other words, there's a lot one could do to destroy the notion of Shabbos without doing Malacha. So how did the Halacha in fact assure the fact that we would achieve the end of Shabbos of Levan Yanuach? Shvi'is Ani Keres. And it's in two levels. The Shvi'is Ani Keres One, I mean, besides, well, first we're talking about that we shouldn't trash Laman Yanuach. So, the Chayra, the Rishonim have formulated different, everyone solved the problem. The only Torah Shaila is how we solved it. The Rambam with Muktzah, and the Rambam with the Mitzvah of Shabbos. Now we talk about there should be Shvisa Hanikaras. Right, the Rambam's third reason. The Radak in the Pesukim of Tosha B'Shabbos Aglecha Tosha B'Tzecha B'Yom Kotshi or Karosa L'Shabbos Aynek. So what's the Inyan there? The Inyan, the Radak says that by the way we conduct ourselves on Shabbos should manifest that this is a day of a different nature. It's a different Mitzvah. In other words, by the way we conduct ourselves on Shabbos, that itself proclaims the Malchus Hashem. As Shlomo Shvadronzatzal put it this way. He says, everyone believes in Einik Shabbos. I don't mean anyone that doesn't believe in Einik Shabbos. But there's a little problem. In davening we say, Yismuchu v'malchuscha shomer Shabbos v'korei Einik. The Einig, and that's what the Radak spells out in Yeshaya, in the Pesukim of Tosha v'Shabbos Aglecha, is the Inyan is that it should be different in its nature and its feel, so that Mamela proclaims the sanctity of Shabbos. It's for far some the Elokus in the world, the Rabbeinu Shalom, it's his day. And that's why it has a different nature, a different tenor. So the Rambam is similar in that regard to the Radak, when he talks about the idea of a Shvisa Anikaris. The Radak achieves that, I think, through Einik Shabbos, and perhaps it's Nichlal also, and the, all the limitations of him to Cheftuch of Adavadav, but perhaps that's also part of it, according to the Radak. So the Rambam achieves that end through Muktzah. He says only through Muktzah is it manifest. When you look at a Yid, you see Shabbos. You see Shabbos. There's no two ways about it. You can't summarize it or define it in any other way. So that's our task. Our task in Shabbos is twofold. It's twofold. There's the inner task, there's inwardly and outwardly. Inwardly is the fear for ourselves, the Rabbeinu Shalom, is the one of Bereishis Bara Elokim. But that's not enough. Shabbos is also to proclaim to the world that this is the Rabbeinu Shalom's world and this is his day. I was always struck when I lived the years that I, when I lived in Sanhedrin Merchevet, so I'd walk on Shabbos, and it's a frum shkuna, so there are endless amounts of cars in the parking lot, and they don't move. Shabbos, nothing. You just look over here, there's millions of dollars of equipment. That all that's happening over Shabbos is rusting a little bit more. That's all. You know, it doesn't last forever. Each day that it passes, you know, besides the mileage, each day has an effect too. And it's sitting here, unmoved and untouched. For what reason? Millions of dollars of investment right in front of your eyes. Nobody lifts a finger to touch it. It's the Rabbeinu Shalom's day. Could there be a deeper proclamation that this is the Rabbeinu Shalom's day? You know, the factories lie still. Right in the Ramban that's in Shabbos. Part of Shabbos is in the personal level, and part of Shabbos is the Ramban spell, and the Ritva spells it out in Masechet Rosh Hashanah, also in the name of the Ramban, is the proclamation that it's Shabbos, that business is not functioning on Shabbos. As the Ramban writes in the Ritva, if we wouldn't have the restrictions of Shabbos, there are part of the restrictions of Shabbos are even to run business in a normal fashion, Ayidei, an Akum is part of the mitzvah to say of Shabbos. because Shabbos has to be proclaimed. It's manifest to the world. And we don't realize, we make a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. We don't realize it, you know, we take it for granted. You know, because we're within the experience, we don't observe it from without. Had a Pakistani come to me a week or so ago, 2 weeks ago. He said, and he hurried, he had to do a job for me. He says, I hurried to finish the job Thursday to bring it back to you Thursday night. He says, Rabbi, tomorrow's Shabbat for you. He says, I can't come late in the afternoon to you to bring it to you tomorrow. I have to finish the job today. No, we don't realize the world around us sees something. And I have one of my chaverim, his father was a rov. He was dying in St. Francis Hospital. There a number of weeks. His five sons, his children, always were with him. And one day, it's a Roman Catholic hospital. It's part of the Catholic hospital system. And they let you know it's part of the Roman Catholic hospital system. I mean, they were on what Slomim did, they probably did in most churches, you know. Slomim, you know, till the Shemayim. You got a million Slomim in the place, you know. The way you walk into the place and one of the entrances is Ramesh looks like you're going into the cloister itself, you know. So a Roman Catholic priest comes over to my friend and he says to him the following, Tishmu Rabbi Yisai. He says, I'm amazed at the devotion that you have to your father. See, you guys always are here, you're with him. He says, you have a closeness of one generation to the next in your families. And because of that, he said, you succeed, you pass your tradition from one family to the next, from one generation to the next. He says, and we cannot succeed, we don't succeed with it. He says, and you know why you succeed and we don't? He says, because you have the Shabbat. The Roman Catholic priest told him, you have the Shabbat. You forget about the world, you gather together with your families, you bond with your families, that establishes a loyalty to the families, and through that flows the traditions of your families from one generation to the next. And that's why you succeed in one generation after the next, that you pass on your tradition. He says, we don't have the Shabbos, we can't, it doesn't work. It's a gaitlish. Can't do it. That recognition for ourselves and for the world around us. This is the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's day. The Rambam says this is one of the Yesodos of Hilchos Muktzah. Shvisa Nikeres. Shavu L'chol Olam. It proclaims Shabbos to everyone in sight. It talks to the inner essence of what Shabbos is. To experience the chavaya that is Shabbos. The hachonah l'kach is the isa melocha. But after the isa melocha, we still have to be tuned in. And the Rambam says, one of the ways we become tuned in is because the halachos of mukta direct us in the things to do and the things not to do that we may choose to do on Shabbos. The Rambam's words are very touching, Rabbi Yisai. Unites.